जयं शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजराचार्या अष्टोत्र शतश्री श्रीमान् अभयशरणारविन्द भक्तिवेदान्त गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्र शतश्री श्रीमान् भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंद कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्यामकुंड राधा कुंडगिरि गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाद भूतले श्रीमती भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीदाङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवाल् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति वादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमन तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादितरदश्चार्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वराट् तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यल्सूरयाम् तेजोवारिमृतम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहकम् सत्यम् वरम् धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितकैलवोऽत्र परमो निर्मल्सराणाम् सदाम् वेद्यम् वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदम् तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा वरैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यदेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणाल् निगमकल्पतरुर्गलितम् फलम् शुभमुखादमृतद्रव संयुतम् पिबदा भागवतम् रसमालयम् मुहुरहोरसिया भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नुमः यम् प्रव्रजन्तमनुपेतमपेतकृत्यम् द्वैवाय नो विरहतादरमाजुभावाम् तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् अनुमन्मदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदिदीर्षदम् तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणाम् करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुम् मुनीनाम् नारायणम् नमस्कृत्य नरम् चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीम् सरस्वतीम् व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेल् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदातृदाननेन्दोः मधुरीम् न कनिकापि कापि कापि मम ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन्निति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे श्रीमल् गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्याम् नमः। वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणाम् पादरेणुमभीष्टशा यासाम् हरिगदोद्गीतम् पुनादि भुवनत्रयम् गोपीचरणारविन्द परमानवे नमः। पीताम्बरम् करविराजित शङ्खचक्रम् कौमोदगी सरसिजम् करुणासमुद्रम् राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासम् वातालयेशमनिशम् हृदि भावयामि। कोमलम् कूजयन् वेणम् श्यामलोऽयम् कुमारका वेदवेद्यवरम् ब्रह्म वासदाम् पुरतो मम। मूगम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयदे गिरिम् यल्कृपादमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमति राधिकाये नमः। सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवताम् नारायणेन स्वयम् व्यासेन ग्रथिताम् पुराणमुनिनाम् मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणि। नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय तोत्रवे त्रैगवाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः। सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम् गीताम्बकम् महत्। वसुदेवसुतम् देवम् कंसच्छानूरमर्दनम् देवगी परमानन्दम् कृष्णम् वन्दे जगद्गुरुम्। भीष्मद्रोणतडा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पल शल्यग्राहवदी कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनि सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तक केशव पाराशर्यवज सरोजममलम् गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानकेसरम् हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोकैः सज्जनशल्पदैरहरः पीयमानम् मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे। मूगम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयदे गिरिम् यल्कृपादमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। यः ब्रह्मो वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदश्चुन्नन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैः साङ्गपदैः क्रम उपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितदद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनो यस्यान्तम् विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः। सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द। योऽन्तः प्रविश्य मम वाचमिमाम् प्रसुप्तम् सञ्जीवयत्यखिलशक्तिधरस्वधाम्नाम् अन्यांश्च हस्तचरणश्रवणाम् त्वकादीन् प्राणान्नमो भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यम्। भूतेर्महद्भिर्ययिमा पुरो विभुर्निर्माय शैदेयदमूषु पुरुषाम् भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मकम् सोऽलम् कृषीष्ट भगवान् वचांसि मे। प्रह्लादनारदपराशरपुण्डरीक व्यासम्बरीष शुकशौनक भीष्मदाभ्यान् युक्माङ्गदार्जुनवसिष्ठ विभीषणान्यान् पुण्यानि मान् परमभागवतान् स्मरामि। Vasudeva and Kamsa talking to each other. Vasudeva Kamsa Sambhadam it is. And when you go through this whole discussion between Vasudeva and Kamsa, you can see that Kamsa was a very knowledgeable person. He was not like ordinary Asura. Even though Asura's body, still the realizations are quite good, what he is talking about. But in real life it didn't work out like that.
That was the only problem.
So Vasudev told him that you can see that verses in the 38th verse. Mrityur, that's where we stopped. Mrityur janmavatam veera dehena sahajayate adyava adyava abda shatandeva mrityurvai praninam dhruva. When we are born, means death is going to happen. That's what it means, isn't it? That means once you are born, death is certain. One thing. And either it can happen today or it can happen after years or maybe 100 years later. So because of that, death is unavoidable. Therefore, just to live in this world a few years to give trouble to somebody else or to perform a sinful activity of killing Devaki is not justified. Vasudev said that to him. And then if you think that if I lose this body, if I won't get another body, then it is a different thing, because I have to maintain this body at any cost. If that is the thinking, he's saying, it is not like that. Why? Dehe panchatva mahapanne dehi karmanugo avasha dehandanam anuprapya praktanam tyajade vabhu. That is the verse we were discussing there. That the when we get fed up with this life in this body, and gradually we feel that this desire to live in this body leaves us, it will happen one day. Everybody will come through this one stage or the other. It's either it is today or tomorrow, that's the only question. That having lived in this body for a while, we feel that normally we have the desire to live for a long time, but that desire will go to continue to live in this body, right? That is an indication. When that desire starts coming like that, to leave the body, at that time our subtle body preparation starts for the next body. And that is how death happens, right? So, practically Vasudev is saying, that before we leave this body itself, the jiva, our life inside, that jiva would have already prepared its next body in its sankalpa. It has not gone in, but it is already built up inside in the subtle body to move into the next body, what body it's going to be. That will happen. And it is impossible to know what kind of body it is and where that body will be. It's very difficult to precisely say what that next body will be. You can see in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavadam, Krishna has spoken this in two different ways. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, Andakaleja mameva smaran tyektuva kalevaram yaprayasana madbhavam yadinastyatra samshaya yam yam vabhi smaran bhavam tyajatyande kalevaram. Those two verses, tam tam evedi kaundeya sada tadbhava bhavida. That whatever that is happening, what he is talking about is what's going on in the subtle body. What's going on in our subtle body? Yam yam vabhi smaran bhavam. Smarana is all in the subtle body. And when you give up the body at that stage, then accordingly that body will be prepared by the subtle body, for the next body will be, gross body will be prepared, and you move on into the next one. In the same way, if you look into Bhagavadam, at the end of, Varahavataram, same thing is spoken. That smarana, Narayana, how you remember Narayana at the time of death, accordingly the body will go into the next body. So when you start feeling that you had enough of this body, what we have now, when you start feeling that, you can more or less guess at that time that our subtle body has started working on the next body. This will come in old age. This is the way we leave the body. When that will happen, it's very difficult to say. It is a very unknown factor that how this body, this our connection with this, which means the bodily identity, how strong that is. It has different stages. At one stage, when everything is very good, we are very attached to the body. When the body starts giving trouble, then our attachment also accordingly diminishes to the body. When the body starts giving a lot of trouble, then your attraction for the attachment to the body also diminishes along with that. You feel that this body I can't trust anymore. It is not in my control. All these thoughts will come naturally within ourselves, right? So, so when this absorption in the next body when the absorption in the next body is completed, when the absorption in the next body is completed, and same time within us we became very disgusted with this body, both things happen, you can say that definitely death will happen. These are the two things go side by side. We get disgusted with this body, and at the same time our subtle body has moved on to the next body. More or less at that time death will happen. Death will happen. So practically Vasudeva is saying there that before we leave this body, the jiva, we are jivas. We have not realized, aren't we? We are still in the jiva level. So in the jiva state, jiva would have already caught hold of another form, another gross body. So therefore he is saying that while you are leaving this body, you don't have to feel very unhappy about it, because there is another gross body prepared for us by the subtle body. So that is that logic what he is saying in that verse, in the 39th verse. Dehe panjattva mabanne dehi karmanigo avasha dehandaram anuprapyam praktanam tyajade vabhu. And then he said that in order to, while this is the actual situation, when we know that this body is meant to go, don't worry about it, just leave the door, let it go. When it is like that, then trying to protect this body, when the situation is so uncertain, in that process, giving trouble to others and killing others and causing all sorts of problems, it's not proper, as they have said, right? It is a fact that this body you have to leave one day. That's the reality, that you have to leave this body one day, right? So, just like in English also you say, as sure as death, same thing, what was they were saying, right? So, and between this birth and death, what all happiness and distress what you have to enjoy and suffer, that is also not very clear. That also didn't work out the way we wanted. It all happened in a particular way, right? But one thing is certain, death is certain, right? and you will come either today or tomorrow. So when it is like that, which is likely to happen any time, what's the point in trying to extend it a few years further, and for that purpose you are engaged in giving trouble to somebody else, like in the case of Devaki here, right? So when Kamsa was trying to kill Devaki, Vasudeva was trying to make him understand a few things about life, right? That, you, of course, you are the king, you are in charge of the administration, but you can, by killing her, probably you may stay for some more time, but beyond that, there is nothing more to it, he said. Vasudeva said to Kamsa, yeah. So, in that, that is why he gave that an example for that. He said, Vrajam sthishtan padeigena yadhevaigena gacchadi yatha trnajalugaivam dehi karmagadim gadaha. I think it's called caterpillar, isn't it? Trnajalugam, it's called. Trnajaluga means that it has got two horns in the front, two horns in the back, and you can see them on the leaf. It moves from one leaf to another. When the front horns are caught onto the next leaf, only then it will leave the leaf what it was sitting on before. Similarly, he says, the jiva which is under the control of karma, will leave this body only if it is sure that there is another body to continue with its karma. So, jivas has got that nature. According to, like the caterpillar leaves one leaf to another, till it gets its grip on the next body, it won't leave the leaf on which it was sitting before. Similarly, we also inside, our vasanas are there, karma vasana inside, and the subtle body. And in that subtle body, the jiva makes a decision about the next body, what it is going to be. And then when it's more or less sure that it has a body waiting for it, only then it is ready to leave this body. And so karmam has this effect on us. Karmam is the one that is driving us through all these different bodies, you remember. Our science is so subtle that karmam karmavasana. You remember Kunti Devi started this in the Bhagavatam with avidya kama karma bhi, right? Avidya comes kamam, kamam comes karmam. And karma means vasana, karma vasana. And that vasana will keep on growing means you keep on moving from one body to another, right? So, in order to say that, this giving up this body and accepting another body is related to this body, he gives an example there. So that is that example, famous example. Supne yatha pashi deha mi drisham mano radhena bhini vishta chetana drishta shudabhyam manasanu chindayan prabhadya deyat kimabhi havasmriti. One thing you will observe in the Bhagavatam, when they talk about these things, they don't only take the vacant state. They will always take all the three states and analyze life. And this is what is missing in the modern scientific approach. Modern science doesn't take the dream state and the deep sleep. Whereas in Bhagavatam, all the three states are taken into account. While the soul is leaving from one body to another. Like you can see in this case itself, he says, Sutne yada pashiri deha midrasham, the strong connection between the vacant state and the dream state, and the deep sleep and the vacant state. All these three states you have to take into account all the time. Only then you can say about your life in this world, because our life is these three states. Every single day we are passing through these three states, one day after another. So if you ignore the two states, dream state and the deep sleep, saying that it is not important, I will only take the vacant state as important, that means my analysis is not right. The parameters are not right. So that is what he is saying here. Swapne, just see the connection. Swapne yada pashyati dehami drisham. Manoredhan redhena bhini vishta chetana. So Jiva in his life has seen many things, experienced many things, seen and heard many things. Drishta shudabhyam. Seen, drishta shudabhyam, heard. Drishta shudabhyam. And due to that, what happened? Different samskaram built up inside us. We have built up different samskaram inside us, right? And that samskaram stayed within us. Whatever we have seen and whatever we have heard, that has created a samskaram within us. It is because of that we say, when we see certain, oh, that was very nice what I saw, or that was very nice what I heard. This nice feeling, what we feel, is due to that samskaram inside. Something you find nice, hearing or seeing. Similarly, when you see something, you say it is despicable, or I didn't like it, I hate it. Why do we say that? Because of the samskaram inside. So, due to that, because of that samskaram in us, in the dream state, it all comes out. And we see at the dream state, we have talked before, that we get separated. Antaryami and Jiva can separately function there. That's the beauty of the dream state. So Jiva goes around doing things, and Antaryami gives you the experience of all that, what's happening to the Jiva. And the Jiva is doing so many things, and you are identifying with that body what keeps on doing different things in the dream state. And at that time, when you are identifying with that person in the dream state, you have lost your connection with the gross body in which you are staying. Is it not? See, the gross body, your gross body is lying there, sleeping. You've gone into the dream state, and you have taken a form there in that dream state, and you are identifying with that form at that time, not with the gross body which is lying down. And just like you have lost your connection with your own gross body and identified with the body in the dream state, in the same way, at the time of death, the Jiva also takes identification with the body. See, the way it happens is that we leave this body. Initially we don't. We are at the moment we are identifying with this body. At the time of death, what will happen is gradually we lose this identification. And slowly we build up identification with another body. When that identification becomes stronger and this identification correspondingly becomes weaker, we lose the identity with this body, and identity with the other body becomes permanent. And that is called a death. This is how Krishna defines death. Krishna is saying, it is nothing to do with the gross body. What it is going to do is your identification that matters. You lose your identification with this body, what you have now, and you have developed identification with another body. And it is that change of identification is called a death. Not the destruction of the gross body. This is a very gross understanding to think that the gross body is the death. Destruction of gross body is death. No. Krishna says no. Actually, your identification of this gross body goes away, and your identification with another gross body builds up. That is how it is called a death. That Krishna is very particular about that in the Ekadasha Skandam. You will see that. Yeah. So I was saying that. So this forgetfulness of our previous body is called death. That means identification. It's called death. And identification with another body is called birth. So that is what the point we were talking about, right? So, for example, in the vacant state, yeah, it is good to analyze these things. So you have a clear understanding what that means within you before you have to face it. And if you have done sufficient contemplation on these things, it will help a lot while when death happens. So, even though we may be very helpless at that stage, when it comes, we'll be very helpless because of our identification with this body, that we will have to, it will be a struggle to, even the power to think, analyze, all this goes away from us. We are just under the control of material nature, prakriti, isn't it? So, so when we go into the dream state, yeah, you may have to take a form there in the dream state. It need not be a human form. But some form what you have seen, heard or seen in the vacant state. Some form it could be, right? So, and that form need not be a human form. It could be anything else, right? So, only thing is, you are familiar with that form which you have probably seen in the vacant state. And you are seeing that in the dream. And then what happens? I identify with that form in that dream state. This is a story in the Yoga Vasishtam. It's a famous story that how we identify with something. Identification is the whole problem, right? We don't realize it. We are, because we are so used to identifying with this body, that we think that this body is the whole thing. A beggar goes into the dream and he feels he is a great emperor in the dream. Right? And because he is identifying with that dream body at that time, even though he was a beggar in the vacant state, in the dream state anything can happen. He identifies with an emperor's position, right? So, in this new body, what he is having, in dream state, it is real for him when he is in the dream. Only thing is, when he comes back into the vacant state, he is back to a beggar. But in the dream state, he is an emperor, right? So, at that time, what happened? He is an emperor in the dream. And so, when he has moved from the vacant state to the dream state, what has happened there? He lost his identification with the beggar's body and he got identification with the emperor's body, right? So, so all the sufferings and miseries of that beggar's body has left him. And all the comforts and the luxuries of the emperor's body has come to him. Even though in reality nothing has happened. So what does that show? That means all it is depending on your identification. Is it not? Because you are able to identify with an emperor's body, you are getting all the happiness of the emperor's body. Both the happiness as well as the authority and the power, everything. You feel like an emperor, even though it is in the dream state, right? So, we forget at that moment that in the vacant state, what are we? Whether we are a beggar or a king or this, we forget all that in the dream state, right? So, similarly, an emperor in the vacant state, when he goes into the dream state, he can become a beggar and he can suffer also heavily. He can suffer heavily. Again, what happened now? Change of identification has happened. Nothing has changed in the vacant state. He is still an emperor, but he has lost the identity with that body. So therefore, when he went into dream state, he is feeling miserable. Terribly he is suffering there. because he is a beggar there. His identification is with a beggar's body. So these two things can happen either way, isn't it? So, so when he got the body in the dream state, he will identify with that. And we forget about the body what we had in the waking state, and we accept the body in the dream state. Similarly, Vasudeva is saying here, the jiva also leaves its old body. This example between dream state and waking state is given to tell us how it happens at the time of death also. It's not much different than that. That's the point he is making. It's all question of identification only. Today we are identifying. Only thing is, we got used to this body for 70, 80, 90, whatever years we lived in this. And this body has become so deep inside us, which is called adhyasam. Adhyasam, adhyaropam, two words they use in the Shastra. Due to adhyasam only we are suffering from that, right? So, so this sapnam and jagrat, this change of identification, is similar to the change of identification between death and the birth. Similar way it happens, right? So, only thing is, in the dream state, it's only a temporary thing. That's the only difference. Between the waking state and the dream state, it's only a temporary thing. As soon as you wake up from the dream, you come back to your old body as the in the waking state, right? And so, at the time of death, right, our attachment means ahamda mamada, aham mama, the two things in the Bhagavatam all the time, me and mine, right? What happens is that me and mine in this body, we leave it completely at the time of death in this body. So, dehabhimanam or identification means, when we say identification, we should know what that means. Identification means aham mama, me, mine. I am this body, and everything else connected with this body is mine. Me and mine, isn't it? Two subtle things, but if you give enough time to analyze it, you will make it all make very good sense also. So attachment means, identification means, what it means is this aham mama, me and mine. This is called identification, yeah? So we identify with this body now. So I think body is mine. I am this body. This is aham. And everything connected with this body is mine. That is ahanda mamata. So, but in the case of death, in the normal life in this world, we get it back when we come back to vacant state. Did we not? Do we not? We get it back. That ahanda mamata, we lose it and then we get it back. But at the time of death, we don't get it back once you have lost it. Instead, you get it in another body, this ahanda mamada. You see how that happens, aham mama, right? So, so this identification, aham mama, the two things we all have to deal with, right? This you will notice also at the time of death, when you get closer to death, that aham mama also is reducing. When we get closer to death, this aham mama, me and mine, will also start diminishing, coming down, right? And along with that, we will also be wanted to leave this body. That thoughts will come inside. And when all these things are happening, it's an indication that our subtle body, he has prepared the next body
and it is making its grip very firm on the next body. It's already doing that, right? So, in this way, when that grip gets stronger on the next body, and we get more disgusted with this body, it is at that time that you realize that death is imminent. That happens. Yeah. Most of the people don't like discussing death, do they? If you discuss death, they say, oh, we don't discuss all that. They say. And this is very strange. This is the only thing to be discussed in this life about the death. What else is there to discuss here? But quite normal, often we find when you discuss death, they go away. They're frightened to discuss death. But death is a main topic in Brahma Sutram, in Bhagavad Gita, everywhere else. Because death is the holy reality in life. And Krishna is also saying, understand death properly. Krishna has discussed this. And if we don't discuss death, that means we are something wrong with us. Not with the thing. So the thing is that you can see this also, I mentioned before, that Acharya Swamiji was traveling. He came to Uttarakashi. Along with him, his disciples were Chitsukha and Padmavada, the very close disciples. They were with him, looking after his comforts and all that. So Acharya Swamiji was very busy in writing books and talking to the disciples about Upanishads. That was his, most of the time he spent in that way. Right? So, and he liked to be left alone sometimes to write. And the disciples, Padmavada and Chitsuga, they were very careful about doing that. Right? So, obviously, they never noticed that Acharya Swamiji was not involved in anything else except this teaching the Shastram to the disciples. And one day what happened was, just before sunrise, a very, very, very old person came to see him in the place where they were camping in Uttarakashi at that time. So, because he was very old, and he had a long beard and everything, they didn't recognize him, who he is. And they welcomed him, obviously being an older person. And he discussed with them about their comforts, how they are comfortable with the stay there, and about arrangement for the prasadam and everything. And now and then he was looking inside, where what the Acharya Swamiji was doing there, right? And Padmavada noticed that Acharya Swamiji was getting ready for himself to go to bathe in the river, right? So the old person who had come, old Brahmana he was, very, very old person, he also wanted to go with him to bathe in the river. They went together, right? And they started conversing each other. He has not revealed his identity, who he is, where he came from, and things like that, right? So, Acharya Swamiji also were conversing with him, and with great humility, because of the age and all that. And Padmavada was noticing this. Padmavada was a very intelligent disciple. So, he was concerned who this old person is, who Padmavada was concerned, who this old person is. He wanted to find out who is coming to see him at this stage, in this time. They came back after the bathing, and then they went into the hut where they were staying, a small cottage or something like that. Yeah. So they spoke about Bhiksha, and then about the weather and all that. And then they slowly moved into spiritual topics, serious discussions, right? Purvashramam, dharmam, karmam, upasana, topics related to spiritual side of life. and gradually came out of that and moved into topic into Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, and in that Upanishads, this topic called Panchagni Vidya. Panchagni Vidya. Panchagni Vidya is an important thing in the Upanishads. Prabhupada has mentioned that in the Bhagavad Gita, but not much in detail. You can see that in the end, somewhere you will find that. I can tell you where it is, but not much in detail you've spoken about it. This Panchagni Vidya came up. It is in the 8th chapter, 16th verse. Prabhupada says that the practice of sacrifice called Panchagni Vidya, recommended in the Kathopanishad, enables one to achieve Brahmaloka, but if in Brahmaloka one does not cultivate Krishna consciousness, then he must return to earth. This is how much he has mentioned that about Panchagni Vidya. This is in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 16th verse, purport. In my book it says it like this, Kathopanishad. But here it says Chandokapanishad. Probably it is in both. This is a new one, isn't it? So we can check that out. It is in one of the Upanishads anyway. Either in the Kathopanishad or in the Chandokapanishad. Yeah. So we'll try to understand what this Panchagni Vidya means. That's more important. So Acharya Swamiji and this old person, they discussed Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads. The discussion is ongoing like this. Then they came to Brahma Sutra. And there in the 3rd chapter, Tadandara Pradipatto Ramhadi Samparishkrata Prashna Nirubanabhyam, there is a sutram like that mentioned, right? Basically, it is referring to that verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Which one? Yanisha sarvabhudanam tasya jagrati samyami. You remember that verse, isn't it? In the 2nd chapter. The night for the transcendental is that famous verse, right? So, the discussion was going on between Acharya Swamiji and this old person who had come, right? And observing this discussion was, Padmavada was there, Chitsukha, another disciple, Sadananda, Chitrabhanu and Purna Tirtha, the other disciples were present there. And it was a proper serious discussion, right? What was the topic of discussion? Rebirth. Transmigration of the soul. This is what they discussed between Acharya Swamiji and this guest who had come, right? So that person, generally in Upanishads and all, they'll say Brahmana, because people with knowledge is always addressed as Brahmana. It's not based on birth alone, based on the knowledge. So that Brahmana is asking, in Kathopanishad the same topic has come, isn't it? Nachiketa Sastra Yama, the same question. About the transmigration of the soul, right? Some people say that jiva leaves the body, it doesn't exist, it's finished with that. And some people say it goes into another body. Which one is correct? This Brahmana is asking Acharya Swamiji about it, right? And a lot of people have doubt about it, about the destination of the soul. After it leaves this body, what happens to it, right? So, tell me what you feel about it, he asked him, right? And what's your understanding of this? This guest, Brahmana, asking Acharya Swamiji. Acharya Swamiji answered that, saying that, Upanishad is very clear on that, yatha karma yatha shudam, that jiva leaves the body with its karma vasana. Whatever vasanas it has created, it goes with the jiva to the next body. to the next species, whatever it is. And so the Upanishads are saying, only if you get realized in this body, self-realized happens, then you don't have to transmigrate into another body. Otherwise you have to. This is the conclusion of the Upanishads. Yeah? So he said that to him, Mrityo, Mrityo Mapnodi, Mrityosa, Mrityo Mapnodi, Ya Iva Naneva Pashyadi. So Upanishad's words are like that, he said. That means one who is seeing Nanatvam. Nanatvam means not oneness. Several jivas exist, several bodies exist, several namarupam exist. That person, he goes from one body to another body and he will have to face death again. That was his answer. At that time, this Brahmana who had come asked him that if that's the case, how does this statement in the Kathopanishad as well as in the Bhagavad Gita? Na jayade mriyade va kadachil. Means there is no birth or death as nayam bhutva bhavito vana bhuya, all that. So Ajari Samji said, that is true. In Swarubam, in your real Swarubam, as Andaryami, there is no birth or death. But this birth and death is a relative thing, in the sense that it is a result of the avidya inside, birth and death, right? So, and he gave the example that just like when you go into the dream state, till you get back into the vacant state, you have to suffer whatever that is in the dream state. And there, similarly, till you realize the self, you will have to go through this cycle of birth and death. So, the problem with this current body, what we have, is only in this life. The problem, what we have to suffer in this world, in this body, is only as long as this body is there. Once this body goes, suffering also goes with this body, related to this body. But the subtle body still remains even after leaving this gross body. Therefore, na jayate mriyate, that verse is saying here, even though it is mentioned in the Shruti, it is in the Bhagavad Gita, na jayade mriyade va kadajil nayam bhutva bhavido vana bhuya ajo nityam shashadoyam puranam na hanyade hanyamani sharire. He said that you cannot think about that verse alone. He said you should take the other words, vasamsi jirnayato vihaya. If you combine these two verses, you will understand. He said that verse is talking about how you disrobe your old clothes and you put on new clothes. Remember these two verses in the second chapter. Second chapter is very important in the Bhagavad Gita. We must have a good grounding on that to understand these subtle things. Vasamsa jirna yatho vihaya navani grihnadi naravarani tatha sharirani vihaya jirna anyadi samyadi navani dehi. So, how we throw away the old clothes and accept new clothes, similarly, this body, when it has old body, it has become old because the karmam has finished in this body. When the karmam that is to be exhausted with this body, it's over, that means this body is ready to be discarded. Clothes changing means that. Changing clothes. It's an example given. Clothes gets very old, then you throw it away. And we get a new designer clothes, something like that, to make it more. So same thing, the same thing here also. So similarly, when the karma is finished in this body, we throw it away and we accept another body which is suitable for using for sense gratification, for the vasanas what we have created from the previous karma. This is the logic behind it. So, Nayam Najayade Mriyade Vakadajil verse should be read along with the Vasamsa Jirna Yatho Vihaya. If you bring them together and think about it, then you will understand what he is saying there. So the Brahmana asked, what does jiva means, he said. So he said, jiva means, he said, Ajaya Swamiji told him, that gross body, subtle body and the causal body, all the three things, one who is identifying with them, he is called a jiva. I know these are very difficult topics for most of us because of the subtle side of it, right? They are used to this, discussing these things, because their consciousness is on a different level. So, stulam, sushmam, karanam, in three bodies, jiva lives, in these three bodies. That's where he is floating all the time. So, when you are feeling limited within these three bodies, you are called a jiva. But when you have become free from the three bodies, then you are realized the soul. You are identifying with the Antaryami, then you know who you are. So Brahmana asked him this question that, what is that power that carries the jiva from one body to another body? What is, who is doing that, he said. So Ajari Swami said, that is called a prana, right? So pranan is that thing, you know, the power, energy that is inside us, which carries the subtle body from this body to another body, right? So, Kridanidauja Vrikshe, it says in the 10th chapter in the Bhagavadam. Upanishad also says that. That means a bird leaves, gets into its cage, right? At the end, one cage is destroyed, then it brings another cage, builds another cage. Right? So in this way, in this samsaram, material existence, we also build cages. Sometimes it's a human cage, sometimes it's a demigod's cage, and sometimes it's an animal's cage, or plants or trees or whatever. Ultimately, they're all cages. And we go and occupy one of these cages, right? So, only thing is, when we are in a particular cage, we are only busy with that cage. All the happiness and suffering of that particular cage, we are dealing with. It's like that, isn't it? Now, I'm in this body, I'm very concerned about what is going to happen to this body, and every day I'm busy maintaining this cage only. It's a cage at the end, and I'll try very hard to fix this cage as much as I can, but at the end of the day, the cage will go. So, intelligence, Ajari Swami told him, is to see that cages are available plenty. You will never be without a cage. There is plenty of cages available, and what you don't want is another cage itself. You don't want another cage again. So it is at that time he approaches someone who is in knowledge about it, right? So the Brahmana asked him this question, that if it is like that, if we are pure consciousness like that, you are saying that jiva is because of the cage. The cage is not there, then you have become atma. You are not jiva anymore. So how did this pure consciousness with this Antaryami inside, bodham. In that bodham, how jiva has come? What is jiva then? This is a very interesting discussion between these two personalities, right? So he gave the example that Ajari Swami told him, just like in the water, how foam comes and bubbles comes, right? All of them similarly, he said. Actually, foam and bubbles and all that is not different from the clear water. That's water itself in another form. But the problem is that foam and bubbles are not considered to be pure. Water is pure. You know that, that when they take water for the deity worship and all that, if there is foam in the water or bubbles in the water, that water will be thrown away. It should not be, because they are considered to be a contamination in the pure water. Similarly, water is clear, but the bubbles and the foam is impure. And although they are made of the same thing, they have these two situations, right? So he says, it is the same way that in Brahman, space has come. And from the space came Vayu. From Vayu came fire, and fire came water, right? So all these space, air, fire, water, these are all like the foam and the bubble, which has come in the pure Brahman. Brahman is pure, like the water. But the bubbles and the foam and all are impure. In the same way, space, air, fire, water, and finally earth, they are all the impurities that has come in that. And this is what is called, they are the five material elements, isn't it? They are the five material elements. So, in the earth, in the earth, Prithvi is the earth, right? Prithvi has got five different Vyagrati in there. Vyagrati means, we'll see what it is. Five different ways in the earth this jiva goes through states. Let me explain that what it is. You must have heard this word panchikaranam. Panchikaranam, isn't it? Yeah. For example, we have rice, wheat, and other what do they call the modern ones? All these kind of grains, right? All the grains, right? Similarly, there is all vanaspati. Vanaspati means like all the all the other oils and other things what we may manufacture from the sea, oil seeds and all that things, right? And we eat them as our food. It goes in the rice and greens and vegetables and this fat things, all these things goes inside. And what happens? It creates two things in us. One is the blood, other one is the semen. Other is the semen, right? And at an appropriate time in our body, avidya prayuktam, due to the lusty desires that is built up inside, that becomes purified and it develops into garbhashayam, into the mother's womb. In the mother's womb, it is building up, in the mother's womb, right? And meanwhile, the form, the life that has been produced inside of the male enters into that. And then what Bhagavatam is saying, the same thing, in one night it becomes kalalam, in two nights it becomes budbudam, and 10 days it becomes karkandu, and within a month it gets a form. Remember teachings of Kapila Maharshi's teachings to Devahuti, how we grow in the womb of the mother, right? And it gradually grows. From 1 month all these things happen. And then it stays like that till the end of the 9th or 10th month. And 9th or 10th month you are born, is it not? Right? And then, depending on that jiva who has come like that with a body, due to its samskaram in it, it either become a brahmachari or a grihastha, or a vanaprastha, or a sannyasa. The vasana he brings with him at the time of birth itself. You know, when they say sannyasi and all that, not in the way modern thing is, don't go into that. That it's not the dress, right? That the consciousness you're talking about. When the jiva comes out, already the jiva knows what it wants in life. It may have a tendency for to be living as a brahmachari, or a grihastha, or a vanaprastham, or a sannyasam, right? And that is an amazing factor. Aho gambhiram maya. Maya has made this arrangement in that way. So, So the Brahmana asked the question at that time to Acharya Swamiji. Right? So this has happened because of what? Adhyasam. Jiva has this adhyasam or adhyaryopam, what it is called. And while he is leaving one body and leaving its old body and getting the new body, what happened to this body then? So Acharya Swamiji told him that this is the topic in the Brahma Sutram, in the third chapter, discussed. What is that sutram? That's the same thing. Tadandara pradibhatto ramhadi sambharishvakta prasna nirubanabhyam. That is that sutram in the Brahma Sutram, right? So Brahmana said, can you explain that to me, what that means? He said, jiva tadandara pradibhatto, after its death, when he accepts another body, samparikshaktva, it lives not with the gross body, but all the sushma bodhendriyam, means that five material elements, it's a subtle form, it carries with him for the next body. That means, you know, we have two things, isn't it? Gross material elements are there, and its subtle form is there. Yeah. So tanmatras they're called. So the tanmatra side of it, we carry with us when we go. What else do we carry? We carry with us this subtle form of the or tanmatras. And how do we do that? Prashna nirubanabhyam. He says, then if you analyze a Shruti, Upanishads of the Shruti, if you analyze it, you will know that when jiva leaves this body with pranan to the next body, it carries with him the mind, and it also carries the senses in its subtle form. When you say you carry senses, means the predominating deities of the senses will go with you to the next body. See how complex the death is? Do anyone think about all these things in our life? We never get to hear such things about death, isn't it? Most of the time we are busy with the gross body, fixing it, repairing it, and then going to all sorts of situations where to find the answer. But what is actually happening is, Brahma Sutram is saying here, that the when you leave this body, you go with the pranan. Means the mind is there in the pranan, as well as the senses are there. Senses means the predominant, that means is, when you move into the next body, the senses, what is available in that particular body, is available for you to use it in the next body. Mind means, when you are carrying the mind, means all your vasanas are also with you. So, due to avidya, what you have created in your previous life, you carry all the vasanas, samskaram, what you have created in this body, also carry with you. And these things are discussed, Acharya Swamiji told him. It says in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, and Chandogya Upanishad in detail, he said. So, this samsara gadi, or this transfer, is what is related to in these two Upanishads, right? The question here is, when the jiva goes away like that, the sushma bhudham, which are the seeds of the body, sushma bhudham, do you understand? Sushma bhudham means the tanmatras of this body. In shastram, it is subtle body matters more. Subtle body creates a gross body. That's the way it is, right? I don't think modern science tells you all this, that subtle body is creating a gross body. They do not know what that side of it. They just say, you've got a gross body now, so you're that body, and then you start the treatment for this body. This is all what the science does. Not condemning that, that's what is happening. That's what I'm saying. So, but when jiva goes, he takes with him, pranan goes with him, Pranan is the power of the whole total of energy in him to develop the next body and into continue activating the new body. Along with that, the subtle elements of the five material elements plus the predominating deities of the senses goes with him, right? So Brahmana asked him, what does that mean? He said, Ajari Swamiji said, it does go with it. That's all it is, he said. So Brahmana asked why? He said, Ajari Swamiji says, Shruti says so. That's all. Shruti says so. Don't ask any more further than that. That's how they are. Shruti is concerned final. What Shruti says, accept it. Don't question after that. Why ends there with the Shruti, right? So, Ajari Swamiji says, Shruti has said, all the Bhuda Sushmam, Bhuda Prakriti, Krishna calls in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhuda Prakriti, in the 14th or 15th chapter, Bhuda Prakriti, if you can look at that word, you will see there, Bhuda Prakriti, that goes with that, he says. So Brahmana says, it's not been spoken like that, is it? So he quoted from Brihadaranya Upanishad. Adhaina mede pranam abhisamayandisa eta tejo matra samabhyadadanaha. So this tejas and all that, Agni is the tejas. And similarly, our eye is one of the powerful senses as well. These things are mentioned in the Upanishads, right? And Sushma Bhudam has not been spoken, because Sushma Bhudam means the material elements in its subtle form, they are available to you from the parents when you take birth. Mm-hmm. So Ajari Swamiji says, the answer for that is what is spoken in that sutram, right? Ramhari Samparishvakta means that when you want to accept another body, a new body, you do carry your personality from the previous body into the next body. And in its most subtle form, you carry that. And in the Chandogya Upanishad, in the 5th chapter, in the 3rd canto, Panchagni Vidya is discussed there, and this topic comes there, he said. Yeah? Chandogya Upanishad, right? So, between Shvetaketu and the king Pravahana, that is how this discussion happens there. And it is, in order to point out that, is this statement here, Prashna Nirupanabhyam. This is the question, he said. Vethayanda Panjamyam Ahula Vaba Purusha Vajaso Bhavandidi. So, what does this mean then, Panchagni Vidya? Five, earth, water, air, ether, fire, the five elements, right? And they have a connection with us in a very subtle level. What's that connection? Space, clouds, earth, male, female. If you take this space, the cloud, the earth, male and female, these are the five different fires, Panchagni. And in these five things, Shraddha, Somam, Vrishti, Annam, Redasa, these are the Ahuti. Ahuti means that in fire, when you offer ghee into the fire, the ghee is called Ahuti, and the fire is the one which is consuming it. Fire consumes, and we put Ahuti into that. It is a word in the Yajna, Ahuti. So, Shraddha, Somam, Vrishti, Annam, Redasa. What does that mean? Shraddha. Shraddha means all our, what we are, actually. That is what Shraddha means. Yeah? It's a very difficult word to explain, like dharmam. What is dharmam, if you ask? Very difficult to give you a total explanation of the dharmam. In different places, it will come in different ways. So, similarly, word shraddha also. Krishna used the word, I told you, shraddhamayoyam purushaha. A person is his shraddha. His shraddha is him. If you want to understand a person, you have to know where his shraddha is. You get that? Means that just don't go by seeing his dress and clothes and male or female. No. What is his consciousness? In other words, shraddha. Where does he stand in spiritual life? That's what is called shraddha. Suppose that person is very absorbed in spiritual life, then you can say he is sattvic person. Sattvic adhyatmika shraddha. Krishna mentions that in the 13th chapter. To when he talks about the Hamsagita. 25th chapter, I think. Yeah. Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yogam. He says that. So if you read that chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Shraddha, you will get a fairly good understanding what Krishna is talking about, what Shraddha means. So when Arjuna asks a question, Krishna didn't answer directly, because there is no one answer for Shraddha. Even Krishna has a difficulty. So what Krishna did was that the three modes of nature, how it changes your Shraddha, he explained that. So when you listen to that, you start realizing that Shraddha is not something you can define straight away. How it creates a person, that means his mindset, his thoughts and his way of doing things and his whole life will be centered around that Shraddha. He will be working in that direction. He will go in that direction only in his life, according to his Shraddha. So we have to discuss that chapter, Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yogam. When Arjuna asked the question, Krishna didn't answer straight away. This is a problem in the Vedic literature. The problem with the people in the modern world, particularly those who have come from a different background, they are not able to see these side of things. They just read one verse and they evaluate the text. And then they come to some wrong conclusions about it without fully understanding that on what basis it was spoken. So it is important to know this, because then you realize it, that's not that straightforward as they thought it is. So Krishna is saying that Shraddha is this that person is made of. His vasanas and his whole consciousness, how he is going to act in future because of the Shraddha. Because his Shraddha is in that. Yeah? Shraddha mayoyam purusha. Shraddha is his purusha's nature. Then somam. Megham, clouds, mentions there. Reference to somam. Som means like the moon, who is present in the yajnam, all the yajnams. Then the rain, connected with the bhumi, the earth. The rain is required for the with the rain, a lot of things happen which we are not conscious of. When the food grains grow, how the rain has a connection with that. And for male and female, in that, male is considered to be annam, the food that is being consumed, and stri, female, is a rejas, the semen. So space, clouds, earth, male, female. Correspondingly, Shraddha, Somam, Vrishti, Annam, Redasa. So, these five things, starting with space, clouds, bhumi, earth, male and female, in that, these five things, Shraddha, Somam, Vrishti, Annam, Redasa, they are the Ahuri in that. So, by the time it comes to the fifth one, these are the Panjagni. You see that Panjagni Vidya, five Agni, five kinds of fire. it is referring to this. That means space, the clouds, bhumi, earth, male and the female. In that, these are the five agnis. In that, this five ahuri, the offering into that, which is shraddha, somam, vrishti, annam, redasa. The five things that is offered into it, right? So by the time it comes to, this is the way jiva is born, created, right? By the time it comes to the female body, it becomes jiva. It becomes jiva. And this is what is spoken in the Chandogya Upanishad, right? Fifth chapter, ninth section, right? First mantra, he says. So, in other words, he says that when the jiva accepts a body, it has jalamaya, water in it, as a major component. Science also agree with that. 70% is water or something they say in the body, isn't it? Why 70% of water in the body? The answer is this. That when this Panchagni Vidya happens, when the jiva is taking birth, it has to go through this vrishti, annam, redasa. Shraddha, somam, vrishti, annam, redasa. These ahudi, what is offered into it, into this panchagnis, which is space, cloud, earth, male, female, in that. By the time jiva is formed, he is addressed as Purusha. And then, majority in him at that time is jalamaya, water that is present there. And the jiva is ready to accept the next body. At that time, this Brahmana asked this question, that you have, it is mentioned in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. The Brahmana is a learned person who had come, and he says to him, to Ajahnya Swamiji, that Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, he quoted fourth chapter, third verse, he says, that jiva, when it's got its new body, and it has got its grip very firm on the next body, only then it leaves the previous body, it says like that. How can that be correct then? He said. So, Ajahnya Swami says there, yam yam logam manasa samvibhadi. Mundaka Upanishad is quoting from there, that according to one's karmam and one's vasana, in basis of that, his bhavana also. That means a person's bhavana, his thoughts and emotions and everything will depend on his karma and vasana, right? So what that means is, in his bhavana shariram, that means in his imagination what he is building up of the next body, after accepting the next body, he gives up the previous body, that's all it means. He explained it that way. Just like, he said, in dream state, how we accept a body in the same way. It's a very interesting topic, how we leave the old body and take the next body. That this bhavana shariram, that means I haven't got it yet, but in my imagination I have built up what the next body should be. How the next body should be. In my imagination, based on my karma and my vasana and my shraddha, already I am carrying with me. Everything is in my subtle body, and the subtle body has prepared a future body, what I should have. And that shariram, which is called bhavana shariram means in your imagination it is there, that becomes a gross body later. That bhavana shariram becomes a sthula shariram later. So Brahmana asked him, does that mean that only the mind goes away with the jiva? Bodily parts of the different body belongs to that body itself, is it? He said, Ajahn Swami said, they are all against the Shruti. those things are all against Sudhi. Brahmana said, the body gets burned here into ashes in the fire. Ajaya Swami says, actually it is not the body that goes. What goes is, he said, like the snakes, it has got its skin over it, right? You throw away that skin, the snakes throw away the skin. Similarly, actually we travel with our subtle body everywhere. And what you are seeing with your eyes and you are thinking that your gross body has gone. Actually, when your gross body hasn't gone. Because the subtle side of our gross body is still with you. So what has happened now, he says, that he quotes that verse, Vasamsi Jirna Yatha Vihaya, that a jiva, when it leaves the body, strictly speaking, he is even carrying his gross body with him. That's the conclusion. To understand that, it's a bit difficult because we are only thinking that this is the gross body. Actually, this is not the gross body. This is like the skin of the snake. You must have seen. The snake leaves its skin. And when you see the skin, you can see that the snake has passed through. That's how you, in the forest and all that, they identify the presence of the snake by seeing the skin lying. Because quite often, the snake releases the skin to the earth and it goes away. And fresh skin develops there. So that's why that example is given here. So what he's saying is that when you leave the body here, what you're burning here and all that, is only that skin only. Actual gross body is still gone with you in its subtle form. Has gone with you, right? So at that time, Brahmana says, it's too complex, he said. It's too complex, he said. Adiva Gahanam, he said. But in Shruti also it says that jiva, when it goes, it travels in a jalamayam. Water is present in there, he said. Apa means water, right? So how do we understand that, he said. He said, Ajaya Swami said, there is an answer for that. In the next sutram, he says, Tratmagatvad Bhuyaswad means that Trivalkaranam. Trivalkaranam means there is a process like that, like Panjikaranam. Trivalkaranam. What is that? Out of these five elements, right, the three are gross, aren't they? Water, fire and earth. You can see them. And you can see how they turn from one to another, right? So, these three, out of that, water, bhuyaswad, most of it is water. In other words, when you say water, it means that fire is present in that. Earth is also present in that. Even though we may say from fire water came, actually fire is present in the water. And this is why when you have this offshore drilling platform and all that, right in the deep sea, they get fire from that. Because fire is present in the water. We say it's a gas that's coming from underground. So, these three things, water, fire and earth, they are all together, the three gross ones, right? These three things together creates in our gross body air, bile and mucus. In Ayurveda they say that, is it not? Air, bile and mucus. Unbalanced state causes all diseases. Of these three things, air, bile and mucus, right? So, it is through these, means water, fire and earth. Those three things are causing this air, bile and mucus inside us, right? So, but predominating them in the three is water. And that is why in our body there is so much water. So, with the predominating water in present there, along with that all the other subtle things together, they move into the next body. This is what the Shruti says. Right? Brahmana asks a question, if that is so, does the pranan goes along with that? He said, prana gadescha, right? So, pranan does go with that. Because without pranan, all these things cannot work. In order for them to operate, water, fire, air, and all that, in order for them to come together and do things, pranan is required, right? So, that discussion went on for a long time. I won't continue because it's a very technical thing that I discussed, right? And basically what he's saying is that the earth is predominant, sorry, water is predominant in the in our body, right? So after death, this jiva. Now, we are not talking about jiva who is in the process of liberation, what we have discussed in the second canto. We are talking about an ordinary jiva, how it moves, comes back again and again, right? So, that is the path called Dakshinayanam in the Bhagavad Gita. So, you go through Dakshinayanam and you come to Pitralokam. And there jiva, from there, it comes back into earth again. And that process is what is discussed in the Panchagni Vidya, what I mentioned before. What Prabhupada has quoted there, that Panchagni Vidya discusses this. We talked about Devayanam. We spoke about gradual Devayanam, Kramamukti, Sadhyamukti. That is for those who are going very high in spiritual life, not for ordinary jivas. Those who are done a lot of sadhana and they have gone very advanced in spiritual life, it's for them. What Shiva Brahmarshi mentioned in the second canto. Remember when we talked about that. Kramamukti and Sadhyamukti, what that means. That's very few only. Majority is in this category. Majority of us, isn't it? So, our situation is like this. We have to go to Pitralokam. And from Pitralokam, certain experiences will be there. And then how we return to this earth again. And that is what is, that root is this Panchagni Vidya, right? So, there it says, Deva, they make the jiva, who is Shraddhamayam, which Shraddha, and offers him into the Dhyulogam. That is the Agni, they make the offering. And then Agasham, the space, make that Dhyulogam into Somarasam and make that water content in that, Jalamayam, and offers into Agni, offers into clouds. And then clouds make it as rain and then offers into the earth. Same thing in the Bhagavad Gita also, spoken in how the movement happens, isn't it? You know that when Krishna talks about yajnam, he talks about all these things, right? The references are there. If you have studied Bhagavad Gita, you will know it. That how it moves. And finally, it is offered as rain into the earthly planet, and earth makes that into food and offers into the male form. And male transforms that food into semen and offers into the woman's body. So it is considered like a yajna, this, right? And at that time, when it is offered to the female body, it is full of water in there, in that body. And it comes out in a form from that mother, right? So this is like a yajna system, yajnam, parambara, yajna parambara. Krishna has also compared that to a yajnam in the Bhagavad Gita. If you read that, you will know. You have to read those verses, right? So, in this way, your jiva, through this yajna parambara, that means space, clouds, earth, male, female, the five agni, in there, these five ahuti, shraddha, somam, vrishti, annam, redas. This is offered in that five, and that is how human form comes out at the end. And this is called Panchagni Vidya. This is called Panchagni Vidya, right? So, that means the knowledge about five agnis, and this is what called material life means. Material existence means, right? So, even though one may have performed a lot of pious activities in this world, but if they have no knowledge of the self, some people have done a lot of what you call pious things in this world. There are people like that, isn't it? They do a lot of charity, a lot of, charitable work, different kinds of charitable work. And they feel that they have done what they have to do. But they have no knowledge of the soul. They were not interested in spiritual understanding of life. Just doing a lot of charity work, right? So, they are also, who don't have knowledge of the soul, they are also food for, they are also have to go through this. Because there is no knowledge of the soul in them. They have done a lot of charitable thing, but there is no knowledge of the soul. Right. So therefore, they are also under the control of the devas. So, those who think themselves that I am separate, the devas are separate in this way, who performs the upasana in that way, they never get to know the truth. Right. So that is why they are used by the devas, because they are still under the control of the devas. They have not become free from that. Right. So, in this way, Acharya Swamiji spoke to this Brahmana for a long time. They continued, right? Palpabhada was standing there and he saw this. And when it was over, the discussion was over, Acharya Swamiji called him, Padmavada, and told him, just review this discussion what we had. Tell us what you have understood, he said. By now, Padmavada understood who that guest was. It was Vedavyas. Vedavyasa Maharshi had come to see him. And that is as a famous words. Padmavada writes this, Shankara Shankara Sachal, Vyaso Narayana Swayam, Tayor Vivade Samprate, Kim Kara Kim Karomyaham. He said, Acharya Swamiji is Shiva himself. And this guest who has come is Vedavyas, Narayana himself. So between Narayana and Shiva, this discussion has happened. I am just a servant. What am I supposed to say about this? He said. And saying this, he offered obeisances to this guest. And Acharya Swamiji was very pleased by seeing the intelligence to sense, who able to sense who that guest was. Right? And but without saying one word, this old Brahmana got up from there, and without saying anything, he left the place, right? So, while leaving, he told Acharya Swamiji, right now, you are 16 years old, your time has come to leave this world, but I would like you to stay for another 16 years in this world, and for that purpose all the devas and the rishis are with you in their subtle form, and your lifespan will go to 32 instead of 16 years, right? And he told him that you go to Prayag and there is this famous Mimamsaka. That means Jaiminis tradition. And there is a great personality there called Kumarila Bhatta. You should see him, and congratulating Acharya, he left. By the time the disciples went out and looked for him, he was disappeared. He wasn't there anymore. So, and it was based on Vedavyasa Maharshi's instructions. Acharya Swamiji goes to see Kumarila Bhatta later. And then they have a discussion about Mimamsa with Saraswati Devi as a judge there. And that is his parambara, that Kumarila Bhatta, that discussion happened. And then Sureshwara Acharya came, and that Sringeri Matham and all that comes after that. Right? So, what I'm saying is that this discussion, what Vasudeva is saying to Kamsa, is in all the Upanishads, everywhere. It's an important topic. And in a very, very simple form, Vasudeva is saying this to Kamsa about this transmigration of the soul. Right? So, so he said that 42nd verse, if you look. We have several karma we have done, right? Based on which karma is our next body? That question comes. Yeah? We have done a lot of karma, isn't it? In this life also, in previous lives also. So based on which karma, next body is decided. Answer is 42. Yato yato dhavati deva chodidam. Mano vigaralmaga mava panjasu. Guneshu maya rajdeshu dehyasau. Prabadhyamana sahatena jayate. That's the answer. He's saying there that five material elements, and which has created in different emotions within us, and so many different types of body based on Maya it can create. Out of them, this mind is very much based on emotions inside. In our mind, the karma what we have done, if the results haven't come for that, that will be a gross, strong, it will be strongly inside us. I didn't get the result of that karma. So out of the several karmas what you have done, in which the sufficient results have not come back to you, and you are unhappy about that, that will be very strongly embedded inside your mind. So, obviously, you see how complex karma is. What all karma does to us. Karma is not that simple, I've done and finished with it and gone. No, it doesn't. Creates vasana, and often the results from that karma, somewhere you are not unhappy about it, that will be staying inside you very strongly. That karma. So, and due to that non-fulfillment of the result, which is disturbing your mind inside, that will push the mind in that direction again. And Jiva will go along with that mind. And then you get the birth to continue with that results what you didn't get it before, to complete that, right? So, this is called vasana. Vasana means all this. That karma is done, and karma created vasana. And vasana has different types of vasana. Some of them are powerful because those vasanas which are not completely fulfilled your desires, they are the powerful ones. Because that is bugging you, isn't it? And, oh, I didn't get that. I've done all this, but I didn't get it. In this way, all the vasanas are controlling everything from behind. So, out of those vasanas, whichever be the most powerful, it is based on that, the next body. This is why they are saying that when we do karma, it should be done in such a way, karma yogam. That means, without desiring the results, you have to learn to do the karma. Is it not? Karma Yoga means that no kartratvam, no bhoktratvam. Bhoktrutvam is the one that is causing the problem here. Kartrutvam causes the problem already. But Bhoktrutvam causes this problem. Bhoktrutvam means I am the enjoyer. I didn't get that. I didn't get the result what I wanted. And this must have happened in several lifetimes and in this lifetime also. Right? So even though the soul is unborn and soul is eternal and everything, this identification with the body still continues because of this. So that is what he is saying here. When karma vasana is pushing us, right? The mind will be running around that on the karma vasanas inside, right? And when it enters into another body, all bodies are created by Maya with the five material elements, right? When it enters into it, the subtle body, or what you call as a mind, give up this body and enters into the new body, right? With that, our identification with this current body, me and mine, leaves us. And we develop fresh identification with the new body as me and mine. It happens. So, and what happens then? In that body, ahamda, I am that body, identification. And all those people who are connected with that body, in them, I develop attachment. Already in this body, I have attachment to this body. I identify with this body. Then everyone related to this body, I develop attachment to them. So these two things, ahamda and mamada, happens in every body. Suppose if I get a dog's body, I will identify with that dog's body, and all the other little ones comes from that. The smaller baby dogs, I'll be feeling they're all mine. Just like I'm feeling all those who are in this body are mine. So ahanda and mamada is like that. The very nature of ahanda mamada is like that. Yeah? So, new body, new identity, and new body, new attachment also, with the new bodily extensions. All the bodily extensions in the new body. I'll be busy with them then. Now I'm busy with all the bodily attachment to those who are identifying with this body. I'm busy with them. Now I'll finish this, and when I get into the new body, I'll be busy with all the ones who are attached to that body. So that is how ahanda mamada goes, right? So, but in dream state, it happens only temporarily. But when death happens, it happens permanently. In dream state also it happens. In the dream, when you are in the dream body, you are attached to those who are in that dream state. But as soon as you come back to the vacant state, you are getting back your attachment back to the those who are attached to this gross body, isn't it? So in dream you can say it is a temporary thing happens. But in the actual death, it happens permanently. So, and that is called birth, right? So, strictly speaking, if we have to talk about death, it is basically we losing this ahanda mamada in a body and developing ahanda mamada in another body. That's what it is, right? Not the destruction of the gross body. Same identification. Either you can call it identification or you can call it as ahanda mamada, me and mine, right? So, so, right now, the ahanda mamada in this body goes away and it develops ahanda mamada in another body. And as far as jiva is concerned, that is its birth. Giving up ahanda mamada in one body and getting ahanda mamada in another body. Developing ahanda mamada in another body is called birth. Actually, they are very interesting things when you look into it detail, yeah? And then you start realizing that what a foolish world we are living in. So as far as jiva is concerned, birth means developing me and mine, or ahanda and mamada, in a new body. That's called birth, right? And then look at the... then he says, Vasudeva says, it's true that you will get another body, that's fine. If you think, Kamsa, that now you got a king's body. Kamsa is a king, isn't it? So, because it's a royal body, I'm trying to protect this. If that is your thinking, Vasudeva is saying this next verse.
Jyotiryadhaivodakaparthiveshvara samiravegaanugadam vibhavyate evam sumayaridesha saupuman guneshu raganugadho vimukhyati.
He says that the sun, the moon, the stars, all these things, when they are reflecting in the water, due to the presence of air, it appears as though they are also moving. When the air is blowing over the water, the reflection of all the sun, moon and stars in the water also looks as though they are moving. Similarly, the jiva, which it has created due to its avidya, different bodies it has created due to avidya. Because of avidya, we, in our subtle body, this process is happening. Different types of bodies we are imagining within us. Different vasanas in us is creating that, right? And different types of bodies, it's all happening in subtle level, without our knowledge, yeah? And we are willing to enter into any one of those bodies, because it's in our mind, in our subtle body, right? But soul, Antaryami, does not have anything to do with any of these things. What is happening is that we are falsely identifying with the body, and we think that that's what we are, this identification. And due to that, we are experiencing all these things, birth, death, identification. Changing the body, everything. Similarly, these are all dharmam due to adhyasam, which has happened. So when that is inside us, just like the beggar felt attachment to the royal body when he was in the dream, and then he falls back into the beggar's body, he feels unhappy about it. In the same way, he says, that's all this royal body for you now. He says, you are getting attached to it, thinking that this is your real thing. This is also not real. See how Vasudeva is saying to Kamsa, that don't get carried away by this royal body what you have got. It is similar to that situation that when the beggar became the emperor in the dream, how he felt identification with that body. So, therefore, particularly don't endeavor very hard to protect this royal body, he said. Who? Vasudeva said to Kamsa. Yeah. So, all these things now, till now, is a samam. Samam, dhanam, vedam, dandam. Isn't it? Four ways of changing a person's position. So, till now, what Vasudeva has spoken to Kamsa is all samam. That means through good advice and through logic and reasoning, you are trying to make Kamsa understand things. Yeah? So we'll continue after a few minutes.
చేతో దర్పణమార్జనం భౌమహాదావాది నిర్వాపణం శ్రేయకైరవచంద్రియా వితరణం విద్యావధు జీవనం ఆనందాంబుదివర్ధనం ప్రతిపద పూర్ణామృతాస్వాదనం సర్వాత్మాసుభనంబరం విజయదే శ్రీకృష్ణ సంకీర్తనం నామ్నామకారి బహుదా నిజ సర్వశక్తి తత్రార్పితా నేమిదా స్మరణేన కాల ఏదాదృశీ తవ కృపా భగవన్ మమాపి దుర్దైవమీదృశమిహాజని నానురాగా తృణారభీషు నీచేన తరోరభీ సహిష్ణున అమాని నామానదేన కీర్తనీయ సదాహరి మదనం న జనం న సుందరీం కవితాం వా జగదీశ కామయే మమ జన్మని జన్మనీశ్వరే భవదాద్ భక్తిరహై దుహిత్వై ఐ నంద తనూజ కింగరాం పదిదాం మామిషమే భవాంబుదౌ కృపయా తౌ పాద పంకజ స్థిత ధూళి సదృశం విచిందయ కలశుభారయా వదనం గద్గదయా గిర ఉలగైర్జితంగదావూతవన్నామగ్రహణే భవిష్యతి యుగాయుధం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశాయుధం శూన్యాయుధం జగత్ సర్వం గోవిందవరహేన మే ఆశ్లేష్యవా పాదరదాం వినష్టుమాం అదర్శనాం మర్మహదాం కరోతు వా యథా తదా వా విరదాబులం భణు మల్ప్రాణనాథాసునేవనాపర సర్వత్ర గోవిందనామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద జ్యోతిర్యథైవోదక పార్థివేశ్వర సమీర వేగానుగతం విభావ్యతే ఏవం సోమాయా రజదేశ్వ సౌ పుమాన్ గుణేషు రాగానుగతో విముహ్యది 43rd వర్స్ వెన్ వి ఐడెంటిఫై విత్ దిస్ బాడీ అండ్ ఇన్ దిస్ బాడీ అహంద మమద కమ్స్ సో when sun is reflecting in the water, when the water moves, it gives impression that the sun is moving in the water. Similarly, when our eyes see some good things in this world, gives happiness inside our mind when we see the good things. And jiva thinks that happiness is his happiness. Jiva thinks like that. Eyes are seeing the object, right? So, our subtle body is seeing the object through the eye. Eye is the instrument through which it is seeing, right? So, when the eye see an object, its happiness and distress is experienced inside the subtle body. Is it not? Anubhavam is in the subtle body. Karmam is happening outside. Right. But jiva, which is in the subtle body, which is identifying with the subtle body, when subtle body is experiencing all these things, jiva thinks it is his experience. This is how it happens to us. Everything. Everything what we enjoy in life is like this. Senses go to sense objects. Makes contact with the sense objects. And then using that instrument sense, the mind gets a result. Mind experiences it. And so the result of happiness or distress, whatever it may be, who actually gets it? Not the senses. It's a subtle body who gets it. But the jiva, which is inside that subtle body, which when I say jiva is inside subtle body means it's identifying with the subtle body. Due to that, jiva thinks he is getting it. He's getting it, right? Similarly, when we get hunger, right? When we feel hunger, right? What happened? It is happening in the gross body, right? But due to our identification with the gross body, I feel that I am feeling hunger. Only gross body is feeling having the hunger. I don't have hunger. It's a very difficult thing for most people to accept that. Because when we say that, oh, so somebody is hungry and you tell him,
Hello, your gross body is hungry. Why you are asking for food? That won't satisfy that person, would it? He needs prasadam straight away. So similarly, thirst also. They are all happening in the gross body. So, but who suffers? Jiva suffers. Me, the jiva, suffers because of that. For something what's happening in the gross body. Right? This is called adhyasam. Identification. Identification means this. Somebody else is doing something and I have to suffer for that. The body is doing something and I have to suffer for that. Body wants food and body wants water, drink, something to drink. And I feel I am hungry, I am thirsty. Right? Similarly, when the body is enjoying some nice food, say gulab jamun or whatever it is, and I feel happy inside. Yeah? So, I feel satisfaction. Right? And similarly, so satisfaction or dissatisfaction of hunger and thirst is felt by me in the subtle body, although it is happening for the gross body. So, in this way, purely because of identification, all the happiness and distress of life, due to, purely because of its identification, the jiva thinks it is happening to him. Yeah. Look at the verse 40 again. Go back to that. Vrajam sishtan padeyena yadhevegena gacchati yadha trunajalu gaivam dehi karmagadim gada. Even though you may think that it is a discussion between Vasudeva and Kamsa, but it is in these verses that the proper understanding we get it about spiritual life. Because these are opportunities for a Shuga Brahmarshi to speak in detail, right? So, when we are walking, how is that when we walk with the two legs, right? So, one foot is firm on the ground, then we lift the another foot and put it on the next foot. And when that is firm on the ground, we take this foot up, right? So, that is how we walk, right? Similarly, when one foot is firmly on the ground, we lift the other foot. So this example gave there, caterpillar. And it has got these horns on either end, right? With the front horns, it will get onto the new leaf. And when it has felt that it is very firmly fixed on the new leaf, then the rear horns will leave the leaf and come along with the body. So basically, it must have got firm grip on another leaf, right? Similarly, jiva also, when the subtle body makes a decision inside about the next body, it is more or less come to a stage, it has got a firm grip on the next body. Only after that, it will leave this present body. Only after that, it will leave this present body. So, there is no situation when you don't have a body. You will always have this body. And when you have got a firm grip on the new body, only then you will leave this body. A situation when you have no body, that is liberated state. Liberated state, right? That means only liberation it will happen, that state, right? Then the question is, we don't know what the next body is, right? For example, in this body maybe you are a king, emperor, right? And in the next body you could get the body of a dog or a cat. And he could be taken birth in that way. So, if you think that, I won't be able to enjoy like the way in this body now I am enjoying, in the next body when I am going to get, right? Vasudeva is saying to Kamsa, don't think like that. Why? In whichever body you go, there is happiness and distress. Don't think that this happiness in this body alone is the real. After all, what is happiness and distress? It's all in the subtle body what you get. So as much you get happiness and distress in this gross body and this subtle body, in this gross body, a similar happiness and distress is available in other bodies also. I know we may not take time for us. We may think that this is a higher level of happiness in a king's body. A dog's body, it's not that. Or it's a lower level. No, it's not. The happiness what you get is similar. It's not different. The dog also gets its own happiness in this life. Only thing is, it's the way it's experiencing happiness is different than the way we are experiencing happiness. Right? So, whichever body we get it, right, we will have very intense attachment to that body. So, just like he said to Kamsa, you're feeling very attachment to this body as a king. Because there's attachment there in that form, right? So, that attachment, you will get that abhinivesham, that's the word they use. Abhinivesham means this excessive attachment, that's called abhinivesham. If you get that excessive attachment in another body, you don't have to worry about anything. You will enjoy the same way like you are enjoying here. Say you take the birth of a hog, and in that hog's body also. So, if you are in a pork's body, hog or pork, isn't it? In a hog's body, right? As far as a hog is concerned, that body is the best body for the hog. So, what difference it makes? We are thinking, oh, it's a hog's body, bad, this, that and the other. But as far as a hog is concerned, that body is the best body. Because he's thinking like that. That's the way it carries that, right? So they're attached to their body in an equal level like we are attached to this body now. So, and when we try to kill that hog, right, it resists. Straight away. It's also fearful of death and it runs away from that. And if you kill them, they leave the body in complete misery, suffering. That living entity leaves the body, right? That is the reason why they say you shouldn't kill anybody. Killing any animal or a bird or anybody is resisting, is actually because it's enjoying its body, like we are enjoying our body. So when you try to kill somebody, it's happiness you're obstructing, right? So leaving a body is a big, suffering for any jiva to leave its own body, right? So when it leaves a body, and if you kill that jiva, kill that form, whether it is animal, birds, whatever it may be, right? If you kill them, they will leave the body cursing us who has killed that body, right? So that is the problem. That suppose you kill any bird, any living entity, if you kill that, that living entity will leave that body, but while leaving, it will curse us for what we have done because it was attached to that body so strongly, like we are attached to this body. So Mahatmas all say this, that you will have to pay for it. We have no right to do that, to separate the life from another living entity's body, right? And the result will be, in another life, in another form, we will be killed in the similar way for what we have done, right? And we will suffer through the same suffering what we have created for that jiva in this body, and we will have to accept that. And this is complex it is. That is why Krishna said that Gahana Karmano Gadi. Yeah. You know, certain things Krishna has left it like that. You won't say in going to detail all that. Karmano Bahi Bodhavyam Bodhavyam Cha Vikarmana. Akarmanascha bodhavyam gahana karmano gadi, Krishna said. He left it that way, and we are supposed to accept it that way only. Gahana karmano gadi, how karma will fire back on us. Then Vedam starts from next verse onwards, 44. Tasmanaka sujidroham ajaretsa tatha vitha almana kshemavanvichan dror druvair parado bhayam. Therefore, one who is wants auspicious things to happen in life should not give trouble to anybody. Right? And one who is does such a thing, he will have to face the music in this world as well as in the next world. That is the Vedam, what he has shown, right? So if we want to be safe in our life, right, or if we want to develop that state of fearlessness, then we should not give trouble to anybody in any form, violence, right? And similarly, shouldn't give and frighten others by our actions, frightening other people. People do that, isn't it? They sometimes frighten others, threatening them and frightening them. So those who give being violent to others or frightening others, dealing with them in a harsh way, they will be fearful about life, right? On the other hand, one who has respect and love for others and seeing Krishna's presence in everything and whatever service you can do for them, they will be free from fear. Fearlessness will come to them. Because they are not frightening anyone and able to show love and able to recognize Krishna is present in them as well and do its best to give them whatever help is possible to them, right? So a person who live in that way, he won't have so much worry, so much fear in him. In people you notice this, some people are very fearful, some people are less fearful. They can accept life. Even so many things happen in life, they are fearless. Why is that? The reason is this, that they are not being a threat to anybody. They have been able to come to terms with many things in life. Is not. So where does that fearlessness comes? Fearlessness comes from this, that Krishna is present in everyone and they have not done that of giving pain to others, right? So nirbhayato, it's called freedom from fear. And those who have violent and harsh to others, they will always be very fearful also inside. So that's what he is saying here, abhaya pradishtidam, that you must first become fearless in life. And for that, one must recognize that every jiva is there, Krishna is also there in that body. And therefore, we have to show compassion to them if they are in the lower species, or even in the same species, you have to be respectful to them and serve them in that way, right? Never become a violent living entity in this world, showing violence and being rude and harsh to others, right? Because if we do that, our level of fear will increase within us. We'll become more fearful, right? Whereas on the other hand, one who is serving others with an open heart and with a mood to help others, such a person will always be peaceful. He won't feel disturbed over anything. So, and this is what is called Vedam, right? This is what is called Vedam. Then, able to make us aware that how one becomes peaceful in life. Yeah. So, one who is giving trouble to others they will always be fearful about life, right? Wherever they go, they will be in a fearful state, right? Because if he is very violent and troublesome, wherever he goes, there will be someone who knows about him, right? Knows his history very well. And they will say that if he comes, that he's going to create trouble in some form, right? And that, you can say it's a gunda, is coming to do that, right? And so others will turn against you. Others will turn against you. So he can expect trouble from others. That means he will always be in a fearful state. And because of that fear, he won't be peaceful. Remember why he's saying this to Kamsa. Kamsa's quality was fear. Gopya kamad bhayat Kamsa. Kamsa could not get rid of that fear because Kamsa has been doing this all life. And because of that, that fear has become his main problem. And after we will see when it comes to third chapter, when he comes and sees Krishna's appearance, that fear has increased more. Why did he get so fearful? Because he practiced that whole life. That fear has multiplied at that time. And then from that moment onwards, all he knew was he is going to kill me. Krishna is going to kill me. That fear has increased to such an extent. Right? So, next verse. Samam. Again Samam. Eshatta vanuja bala kripana putri kopama handam narkasi kalyanam kalyani imam tuam dinaval salam. This Devaki is it's like a wooden doll sitting there, completely helpless, young, and you have no right to kill her in this situation where she is now, right? So basically this is again Sama spoken, right? That the moment you have tried to kill her, she has turned out to be a wooden doll or something like that, right? Jiva chavam, that means even though she is living, she is more or less dead because she realized that she is going to be killed, right? So therefore, you should show some mercy towards her, saying that Sri Shuka Vacha evam sa samabhirbhede bodhyamano vidharuna nanyavarta dauravya purusha dana anuvradaha. By nature, Kamsa is very cruel, right? In addition to that, all his association is with asuras. All his friends are asuras, right? So because of that, even though all these things were spoken, it didn't have any effect on Kamsa. So when Kamsa Vasudeva tried very hard in this way to change Kamsa's mind, because of his prakriti is rakshasa, asuric nature, isn't it? So he was not willing to withdraw from that. He wanted to kill her, Devaki. That's what it is. At that time, you see the next verse, nirbandham tasya dasyatva vijindhyanava dundhubi praptam kalam padivyotam idam tatra anubadhyada. When Vasudev saw that, Kamsa is insisting that he has to kill Devaki, right? Vasudev made a decision to speak in a different way. And he changed his mind, right? Vasudev is thinking constantly how to change Vasudev Kamsa's thinking, right? So he thought that what had to do to get rid of this, right? And then he thought a different technique, right? Even though death is imminent for Devaki now, but still, in situations like that, one should try very hard to save one's life, even under situations like that. And even if you tried very hard to save that person's life, if it did not succeed, then you have to accept that that is the destiny and you have to leave it at that, right? So, in Devaki's case, Vasudev felt responsibility because he just married her. And she has come trusting him, Vasudev. Devaki had come with him, right? So, Vasudev felt that under any circumstances, his responsibility is to save Devaki's life from Kamsa, right? So, I should do everything what is possible. And so, in this way he thought like that, and then he felt that actually she is not, Devaki is not Kamsa's enemy. The eighth child born of Devaki is going to kill Kamsa. That was the voice from the sky. Devaki is not going to kill Kamsa. So why you have to kill Devaki for that, right? And all thing is, what I'll do is, I'll offer all the children coming from Devaki to Kamsa and he can do what he wants. And Vasudev thought that, can I try this method to save Devaki, right? There was no other way. He has to give this commitment, right? If you think about it, it's a very heavy commitment, isn't it? That I'll give all the children to you to kill. And eighth child will be your killer. So that means there is likely to be eight children. And all the eight children, if I hand them over to you to kill, for a father or a mother to say that, it's a bit too much. So, but even at the cost of giving all those children, I'll have to save Devaki somehow in this condition, right? Devaki is my wife, that's the truth, right? And that is the reality at the moment. The children are not born yet, right? And we don't even know whether Devaki will have eight children or not. That's all in the future. Right now, it's only Devaki is my wife. That's all it is, right? So, it may happen, may not happen. And even if the children are born, whether Kamsa will be living at that time or not, who knows? If all the eight children are born, right? He may be there or he could be gone, right? And imagine that Devaki had eight children and Kamsa is still living. And even then, only the eighth child will kill him. That's the voice, Ashariri, isn't it? So, eighth child will kill you, Kamsa. This is what is spoken from the sky. So, nobody knows what is going to happen in the future. And what is the decision from the higher authority? We don't know that, right? Whatever that's been decided, that will happen. And future is concerned, that is not in our hands, right? That is in Krishna's hands, right? And what is Ishvara? Ishvara's decision. Ishvara will make the decision and that will happen in the future. That's all we can say now about our own life, is it not? So, future is not in our control. The presence, we can do something. It is in our control, right? So all I have to think about it is to tell Kamsa what can be done now. Don't worry about the future. What will happen in the future, who knows, right? And thinking about a danger likely to happen in the future, you can't do anything now. What will happen then, right? But do what is possible now in the current situation. That's all we can do. So he decided to talk to Kamsa again. And if Kamsa is satisfied, he will leave Devaki to go. And if in future Kamsa can say something else and come back again, and he can even kill Devaki also in the future, because Asura's mind is like that. Which way it will go at any moment, it is very difficult to say. And if anything happens like that in the future, at that moment we will think about a solution at that time. Thinking like that, right now my immediate need is to save Devaki at any cost. So, thinking that whatever happened in the future, I cannot bother. Because of the future chances, likelihood of eighth child killing Kamsa, on the basis of that, not protecting Devaki now is not right. I should protect Devaki now at any cost, under any circumstances, right? In this way, Vasudeva is analyzing everything. And then he was inside cursing Kamsa, but outwardly he was talking to him in a very pleasing way. Vasudeva was talking to Kamsa, right? And told him, Devaki is not your enemy, is it? Devaki is not your enemy. The eighth child of Devaki is going to kill you. That's what the voice has spoken, right? And I will do one thing. Every time the child is born, I'll bring them to you. You can do what you want with them. All the eight children, I'll bring them to you, right? You can kill them, or you can allow them to live. That's up to you, he said. But don't kill Devaki for that, he said. And at least release Devaki from this, he said. One thing was, Kamsa knew Vasudeva before. And Kamsa knew Vasudeva is a man of honor. He will keep his word, right? He won't change his mind. He's a very truthful person, right? So he knew that at any cost, Vasudeva is maintaining his commitment, right? So Kamsa had a lot of respect for Vasudeva. That was their relationship, was like that. And so when Vasudeva put these conditions to him, Kamsa agreed and released Devaki, right? And Kamsa went back with a heavy heart after this to his palace in Mathura after this conversation with that, right? And Vasudeva was temporarily relieved and managed to take Devaki with him, and together they went to their palace. And try to understand this, right? In the 10th canto, what is discussed? Nirodham, isn't it? Nirodham, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Abhasascha nirodhascha. That nirodham is the discussion in the 10th canto, right? This nirodham, the word nirodham, is basically means, it has different meanings at different situations, right? This is the problem with Sanskrit language also. I was saying this. In English, everything is straight talk. What you say, that's what it means, isn't it? There's no other meaning behind it, no. Whereas in Sanskrit, everything is different. What you say is one thing, you are supposed to understand the meaning, in what context, and all that thing, you have to think about it. So because of this problem between Sanskrit and English, that's why these translations always is not the ideal thing, because it takes a long time for you to get to understand what is being spoken. So, nirodham, one meaning is devastation. That's one of the meaning, pralayam, devastations, right? So, those people who are responsible for destroying dharmam in this world, dharmaglani. So, such wicked people, when Krishna kills them, and that is what is called, killing them all, is called nirodham. That's also one meaning of nirodham, right? Nirodham can be spoken in other words also. Mano nirodham, controlling the mind also, right? So, those things, what distracts our mind from Krishna, what distracts us, like ragam, dvesham, kamam, krodham, madam, malsaram, all these things, which are demoniac nature, what is present inside us. If you are able to kill them, that is also nirodham. So, nirodham means anything demoniac nature basically. One word nirodham, but word means, normal meanings, if you kill wicked animals, wicked persons, who are creating irreligiosity in the world or disturbing our religious nature, spiritual life in other words, when you are killing them, it is called nirodham. That means demoniac nature. You are killing those demons and killing them and destroying them. That's called nirodham. But within us also, all these demonic nature is present in us. If you kill them also, that is also nirodham. Also called nirodham. So basically idea is that the mind completely becomes free and get absorbed in Krishna. So this rakshasic nature, asuric nature, what is present, asuri sambhata, demonic nature, within our mind, blocking them and destroying them, that is called nirodham. Nirodham, right? So within all of us, these two things are present. Which one? Devi sambhata, asuri sambhata, divine nature and the demonic nature. Right? So, we have to, in order that the mind become free from the asuric nature, what we have to do is to increase the divine nature in us, to destroy the demonic nature. Both vasanas are inside us. So, divine nature has to increase and demonic nature has to disappear from us. Right? So, if that happens, if the divine nature increases, the mind becomes divine and it becomes one with the divine, Antaryami inside, right? In this way, mind disappearing in the Antaryami means this asuric nature going away and Devi Sambhata, divine nature, developing it. That is what is called Mano Nirodham. Disappearance of the mind in it with its demonic nature and developing the divine nature in the mind and that mind going and dissolving in the divine and becoming one with that. That is called Mano Nirodham. So that is what that Nirodham means. Abhasascha Nirodhascha. Right? So, in order that the asuric nature to leave us, what do we have to do? We have to increase the divine nature for the demonic nature to disappear, right? So, what do we have to do? You can't pick up all the divine nature one by one and start saying like a project, I will build up one after the other, say, and divine nature is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, is it not, in that chapter, divine and the demonic nature. So all those mentioned in the divine nature, there's so many things spoken about it. Devi sambadam devi abhijadasya bharata, Krishna says. So all that divine nature to build up inside, one after the other you can't pick them up and start developing them, right? The easiest way for that is continuously be attached to the divine nature, which is Krishna. Divine nature is Krishna, right? So, remembering Krishna in that way, the smarana, again, the same thing. If we are able to bring our mind closer to Krishna all the time, then this divine nature, Devi Sambhata, will grow in the mind. And because Krishna is the divine nature, and so this process by which the getting the mind closer to Krishna and that way increasing the divine nature, that's the only way. Right? So, why? Because divine nature are permanently present in Krishna. Devi Sambhata. Right? And they are permanent. And the more we get closer to Krishna, this divine nature to that extent will increase within us, right? And it will grow and it will expand within us. So we don't have to do anything else for the divine nature. There is no other need to do anything else for the divine nature, to develop divine nature. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is to get closer to Krishna, somehow or the other, because that Krishna is the divine nature, everything. Krishna, everything is divine nature, right? So what is the way for that? How do we get closer to Krishna? That's another question, right? That best method is smarana. That Shukha Brahmarshi has said that all the time. Smarana. Shrodavya, kirtidavya, smartavya, chadavaya. The smartavya, right? If you keep on increasing that smarana, what will happen? The mind will go and become one with the divine nature. Tanmayatvam it's called. Tanmayi bhav. That means it's becoming one with that. And if that smarana becomes very firm inside, right? In order to do that, we have to have some kind of emotional relationship with Krishna in some form. Doesn't matter what it is. And that's what that word 7th canto said. Gopya kamad. For gopis it was kama. Bhaya kamsa. Kamsa it was fear. Shishubala had hate. So they all had a relationship with Krishna. Our problem is we have no relationship with Krishna. That is our difficulty. See, Kamsa had a relationship. He frightened of Krishna, but he had a relationship with Krishna, even though it was fear. Shishubala had hate towards Krishna, but still he had a relationship with Krishna. Gopis had also a relationship with Krishna, even though it has come from kama, lust. So, if you don't have any emotional relationship with Krishna, then you won't remember him. Whereas you can see gopis always remembered Krishna. Kamsa always remembered Krishna. Shishubala always remembered Krishna. Why? Because they all had a relationship with Krishna. Emotional relationship. It was all emotions, isn't it? Kamam, bhayam, dvesham. Opyakamad bhayat kamsa deshe chaityadeva nrupa. Sambhando krishnaya snehad yuyam bhaktya vayam. Narada Maharshi said this. Narada Maharshi's relationship was bhakti. Pandava's relationship was sneham, love for Krishna. So all of them had a relationship first of all. And when we don't have any relationship, that's where the problem is. So therefore smarana is not possible. If you have a relationship, there will be smarana, right? So you can have this relationship in any level, any different kinds of relationship, as he said, hate or fear or whatever it may be, you can remember Krishna. But Kamsa's mind became completely, Kamsa became Krishna conscious, did he not? Only thing is he was fearful, but he was Krishna conscious at the end. Always remembered him, right? Due to that, Tanmayatvam happened, became one with Krishna. If you're always thinking about Krishna, what more do you want? You remember the way it is spoken in the Bhagavatam. He couldn't sit in one place. He thought Krishna is there. And he couldn't walk. Krishna is there. He said, Krishna is following me. So he has reached that state of Krishna consciousness. Only thing is, it was out of fear. So, through fear, he got this tanmayatvam, oneness, right? And suppose you're frightened of someone, you will always be thinking about him all the time. So that fear alone will create the fear of that person in our mind. It will ignite that fear inside us, right? So due to that, our smarana will increase. Yeah? Similarly, hate also. Hate also, right? suppose you hate somebody, it will be there inside. It won't leave us easily. It's not. It'll keep coming back again. So, and when you see him, it will burn more inside. And as soon as he goes, still it will stay there, right? But all these hate and fear and all that is not a very easy process. That's only possible for certain people. Because when they have come, they have taken the ticket for that. That's how they have come here, right? And not only that, this fear and hate and all is very disturbing for the mind, for ourselves, right? So that is why in the mood of fear or in the mood of hate, it is possible to develop a relationship, but till you get liberated, your mind will be very disturbed. Yeah. So that is a disadvantage of these two things. fear and hate, right? So, so this problem is there with Kamsa and Shishupala and all that, right? And when you have that, one of those, fear or hate, as soon as you think about Krishna, that enmity will grow inside us very strongly, right? So you lose that peace inside. So therefore, sneham, or love for Krishna, is the only process. In whichever loving relationship, able to remember Krishna, in some form, it doesn't matter what it is. And that is where all the other five comes. Shandam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Vatsalyam, Madhuryam. In out of these five, we talked about it a little bit before, that any one of them is good, whichever way it is possible, right? For example, if you think about a person whom you love so much, as soon as you think about him, the love comes in. You have a relationship with that person. They give the best example, the child and the mother, right? Any child, when it thinks about the mother, immediately the child completely gets affected by that, right? Happiness. And what to talk about when seeing the mother, the child gets immense happiness. Even while thinking about the mother, you can see a lot all the time with the children, right? So, and similarly, when the mother sees the child, mother also feels a special happiness, which you don't know where it's coming from, it comes straight away, right? So this relationship, child, mother, yeah, that is called Vatsalyam. Vatsalyam is that, right? So this Vatsalyam, out of these five, Vatsalyam is that you can love Krishna as your father or mother. That is also Vatsalya Bhakti, right? And thinking Krishna as a mother, you can love, because Krishna said, I am everything. Gadirbharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Sukhat Prabhava Palayasthanam Nidhanam Bijam Abhyayam in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Pidahamasya Jagato Mata Dhada Pidamaha Vedyam Pavitra Mongaram Rik Sama Yajurevacha. All those verses, if you look, you can see there. So these are, this Vatsalyam is a natural thing. So, therefore, love for mother and love for respect for mother is a natural thing in the child, right? So, that natural bhavam, if you are able to think Krishna as your mother, and if you are able to direct your love for towards your mother, towards mother, as love towards Krishna, right? Then it becomes bhakti. It becomes bhakti. That means, that relationship with the mother, if you are able to think of Krishna as your mother, and direct this love towards mother, towards Krishna in that way, as mother, then it has become bhakti, right? Then, friendship, sakyam. To think of Krishna, he is always kind to you, and he is always doing the best for himself, for us, and he is with me all the time, helping me in all difficult situations, right? And he is my friend, one who is our well-wisher, right? So, best friend, hiteishi, they call it. If you are able to think like that, that is also, that is sakyam. That's one another way. Then thinking Krishna as a master and you as a servant, dasyam. That means always thinking of Krishna is protecting you. I am his servant under any circumstances. If that feeling is very deeply rooted inside, that means all your life will be on that basis, pleasing Krishna at any cost, dasya bhakti. And that is suitable for most of the people. To think like that, that I am Krishna's servant. Everything I do should be to please Krishna. In that way, a life is geared in that way. Then finally, Madhuryam. Madhurya Bhakti is a little advanced thing, not possible for everyone, but the beauty of Madhurya Bhakti is that if you are very close to Krishna like that, then continuous anusandhanam, you will remember each other, like the lover and the beloved, in that way. So, devika sambhatta, if all these five things, any one of them develops inside us, then this divine nature will build up automatically. You don't have to study Bhagavad Gita and see all the qualities mentioned there. And make the list of them and start ticking them one after the other. Have I developed this? Have I developed that? You don't have to follow that route. That is only for understanding what divine nature is. But how to create that divine nature, this is bhakti, is a process. And bhakti through one of these five relationships. That's the way to understand that. Otherwise we will do a seminar on bhakti and we'll teach everybody what the divine qualities are. And then we will think that we have understood everything now. No, that's not how it is. Those things are spoken in the Bhagavad Gita to understand a person in a divine nature, how he will be. But to get there, the process is bhakti. Through one of these five relationships, one has to develop them. So there's a lot of things to be done before that. Then there's one left there, is Shanda Bhava, isn't it? We talked about Dasyam, Sakyam, Vatsalyam, Madhuryam. Shanda Bhavam is rishis, of the rishis in the Upanishads, who gave the Upanishads to us, right? That is a special relationship, right? And their understanding is Krishna is present in everyone's heart as Antaryami, and they have that deep understanding within themselves. And therefore, particularly, they don't have an emotional relationship with him, but they are so conscious of Krishna's presence in everyone as the Antaryami. That strong, in-depth understanding inside. Krishna is inside, right? And therefore, they will always look at everyone and see Krishna's presence in them. They have that realization. And therefore, that is called, and they will be able to do anusandhanam on that basis. Dasyam, Sakyam, Valsalyam, Madhuryam also requires anusandhanam, that relationship, anusandhanam. But in Shanda Bhakti, anusandhanam is in the form of Antaryami, inside, right? So ultimately in these five different ways, through continuous growing this relationship in that way, this divine nature will develop within us, and bhakti, and that is what's all spoken through Krishna's pastimes. Krishna Katha is for that purpose, right? And this is called Nirodham. This is called Nirodham. So when we talked about Purana Lakshanam, we started about that Sargam, Visargam and all that. That in all Sargam, in all topic, right? It was mentioned that, what do I say? That what is spoken is the Ashraya Tattva, isn't it? Ashraya Tattva is the ultimate. Yeah, so you will see there that the when we talked about that, nirodhasya anushayanam almanasaha shakti bhi muktir hitanyatha rupam sarupena vyavasthiti, right? So Dashamasya Vishuddhyartham Navanamiha Lakshanam Varnayandi Mahalpanam Shudenarthena Chanjasa. And the Abhasascha, seventh verse. Abhasascha Nirodascha Yadascha Dhyavasiyade Sa Ashraya Param Brahma Paramatma Iti Shabhyade. He said, right? So, there it is mentioned that out of all these 10 things what was spoken, through that, ultimately the goal is to talk about the Ashraya Tattvam, which is called Brahmam or Paramatma. So Ashraya Param Brahma Paramatmedi Shabdyade, it said, right? So this Ashrayam is the topic that is discussed in the 12th canto, isn't it? When it comes to 12th canto, right? So what is spoken through the ashrayam? Now, this is the interesting part of that. The ashraya means 12th canto. What is ashraya means? Ashrayam cannot be spoken. It has to be experienced inside. Anubhav, right? And this is what has happened to Parikshit. He realized that in the 12.5 Brahmavadesham, what happened? Yeah. That he experienced it. Sa ashraya param brahma. Paramatmiti shabdade. Right? So he becomes that Brahmam. Because you experiencing Brahma means not knowing intellectually, becoming that. And he got liberated. So these 9 topics, which was spoken, sarga visargam onwards, right? Through that Paramatma Tattvam is spoken, and that Paramatma Tattvam, you are experiencing that as your own identity, that your very self, that's what it is, Brahmam, and becoming satisfied with that, and that is what is ashraya means. Realizing the self, another word, that is actually ashraya. That means you become Brahmam, like aham brahma param dhamma brahma aham paramam padam, like Parikshit experienced, right? So this is that connection with the 12th canto, right? So gradually Devaki Devi, Sarva Devada Swarupini, one who has been chosen to become the mother, Krishna's mother, right? Sarva Devada Swarupini gradually had 8 children born, and every year she had a son. And the first son was born, was given the name Kirtiman. That means Sarvadevada, one who is present in everyone as their very self, right? And, or Devaki Devi, who has taken Krishna as the Upasya Devada. That means when Devaki Devi, who became this appearance, Krishna is a very interesting topic in the Bhagavatam, because it's not like any other birth. It's so different from everything else. First 7 days when the child was born, there's a contamination period because of the birth. So Vasudev didn't take the child to Kamsa. And after 7 days, Vasudeva took the child to Kamsa. Look at the words there. 58. How? See Vasudev's strength of mind. Kim dussaham na sadhunam vidusham kim apekshitam kima kaidyam kadaryanam dustyajam kim dhradalpmanam. Shukabrahmashi is saying this about Vasudev, right? About his noble quality of Vasudev, right? He says, kim dusaham na sadhunam. For a truthful person, he can tolerate any suffering in this life. For a very truthful person, he can tolerate any suffering in this world. That is why he was a newborn child, son, he was able to hand over like this to Kamsa. Vidusham abhekshidam kimnu, he says. One who knows Krishna alone is the truth, everything else is false. For him, there is no problem in doing that, because Krishna is the only truth. This so-called relationship with father, mother, son and all that, false relationship that is. And for a sadhu, one who is truthful, who knows the truth, these things are not difficult, he says. Now, if I take the son to Kamsa, did Vasudev think that Kamsa won't kill him? No. He says, kadaryanam akaide kim. He knows a cruel person can do anything. That means Vasudev never trusted Kamsa. Vasudev knew that Kamsa can do anything. When he will change his mind, what he will do, you never know. You have to be prepared for anything while dealing with Kamsa. Only a few days ago he showed all love and affection and all and sent him away. Now he can change his mind again. What is going through his head, nobody knows. Right? Dridalpanam dustyajam kim. And similarly, one who is carrying Krishna within the heart, for him to give up anything is also not difficult. That's important verse, right? To tell us how our nature will be in our life. It follows us, right? He's saying here, the truthful person, they can tolerate anything in life. And therefore, he would not think even about his happiness, what was going to come from that child. He did not bother about it, because he was willing to tolerate, he was so truthful that he did not bother. Then, Kamsa is concerned, he knew, wicked people can do anything, they can change their mind any moment and do what they like. And how Devaki gave up the son, it's most difficult for Devaki than Vasudev. How Devaki gave up the child, he says, one who carries Krishna within the heart, what is difficult for them to give up in life? All these statements, very important, these statements, yeah. Lot to learn from that, how Vasudev and Devaki had their life in this world. They had not an easy time, but because of their Krishna consciousness, how they survived all these things, right? So, for truthful people, they can make any sacrifice in life. It's not a difficult. Whatever distress comes in life, they will tolerate it, right? In order to fulfill the commitment they have made, to honor their word, right? So they will tolerate any suffering, right? Vidushamshi abekshadam. Any father would have liked to have the son and to bring him up, the son, and that happiness, attraction for that, how could Vasudev give it up like that? Because Krishna's tattvam, Bhagavad tattvam, is very strong in Vasudev. Vasudev knows what the truth is. And one whose mind is very fixed in the truth, such a person will not be carried away by the happiness that comes from the world outside. Happiness from the sun means from outside world it is. That happiness is not an important factor in Vasudev's life. Because Vasudev, he is well conscious of, you know who Vasudev is. Previous Kashyapa and Aditi in that time, and prior to that Prishnagarbha and Sudapa. So you can see all the austerities and penances performed in those lives has elevated them to a very higher level. In this life they have come as Vasudev. So Vasudev's consciousness is very high, like a rishi he is. To such an extent he is advanced, right? So he can find happiness from Krishna from within. When you are able to find happiness from within, from Krishna, then this external happiness getting from a son or a daughter or all those things, he can give it up. Because you have a higher happiness coming from the Antaryami. So he is in that state, right? But that can only happen if we have realized Krishna like that, as Antaryami inside. Due to his tapasya in previous lives, and what he has grown very high spiritually, and now in this birth, as Vasudev and Devaki, they are in a very higher level of realization, right? So such a person, he does not require anything from outside to become happy, right? Like, you know, looking after son and feeling the happiness from the son or daughter, things like that, that's not difficult for them to give it up, right? And Kamsa, Vasudev never thought that Kamsa will show some compassion to this child. Vasudev never thought like that, right? That's what he's saying here. Is there anything which is difficult for a wicked person to do in this world? He will go to any extent and do anything wicked. They don't think about anything. That is due to that wickedness inside, right? And then says, how come Devaki was able to hand over the child like that? That is because dustyajam kim dridalpanam, that word, right? So when Devaki, like Vasudev, very highly advanced state of consciousness, right? So when Krishna is so fixed up inside, Devaki also did not find it difficult to hand over the child. So, so what he is saying here is, people who are very truthful, for them there is nothing that they can't tolerate in life. Because they have got that strength inside due to their truthfulness. So therefore, Vasudev decided to go and he got the courage to fulfill his commitment. And the personalities like Vasudev, for whom this Atma Tattvam is very firm, this is Atma Tattvam, firm realization inside, knows very well that the happiness that comes from the soul is above everything else, all other happiness. Why we are holding on to the world so much? Because it's giving us some happiness. And we still haven't got some happiness from Krishna. Therefore, we will run after this worldly happiness. When we get to get a little bit of Krishna consciousness inside us, happiness of Krishna from within, what I mentioned before, from Bhajanānandam, once you get like that, you will naturally will give up this Vishayanandam, will leave us. But a little bit of Bhajanānandam has to come from somewhere. Till we experience that, this will be like this. We will be running after Vishayanandam. Now and then we will come to look for some Krishna consciousness. And then we will go after Vishayanandam again. So, so therefore, Vasudeva and Devaki is not in that state. You have to remember that. They are not like ordinary people. They are the rishi. They have become like rishis practically. From previous lives as Krishna consciousness, right? So Vasudev never thought if Kamsa will show any compassion to the child. And Vasudev knew that. Why? Because he knows Kamsa's state of consciousness is wicked. And he can do anything he likes. And but because Vasudev and Devaki is completely fixed in Krishna, they were not affected by it so much. In that way, they had the courage to do that. And when Vasudev brought the child, Kamsa was very pleased. And Kamsa was impressed by Vasudev's truthfulness. Right? And and Vasudev felt that I have fulfilled my word. I have committed my, I kept my word. Right? And then then Kamsa spoke to him. Kamsa said to Vasudev, this child won't give me any trouble because the Ashariri was that only the eighth child will kill me. So if you bring the eighth child, that is enough. Others you can bring them up. Kamsa gave a decision like this at that moment, only for that moment, right? And he gave back the child to Vasudev again. But Vasudev knows, Kamsa you can't trust. Next moment he can change his mind again, right? So when the mind will change, you don't know. So therefore, Kamsa's mind is not very steady. It can change any moment, right? So when the child was given back, the first child was given back, Vasudev didn't show any particular happiness or distress. He accepted the child and he thought that if the child has a lifespan to live in this world, he will live. Otherwise, if he dies, he dies. That's the way he took the child from there. And then after that, six children were born. Six boys were born. And when all this has happened, Narada Maharshi comes to visit Kamsa to talk to him about it, right? Kamsa received Narada Maharshi nicely and inquired from him what's all going on in the creation elsewhere, right? Narada Maharshi told him, I've come to tell you something very important, he said, that that because I love you so much, therefore I am telling you, he says. Narada Maharshi is saying to Kamsa, right, that because I am your well-wisher, I want you to be happy, therefore listen to this, what I am saying, he said, that your bad time is coming, he said to him. That have you forgotten that thing, what you heard when Devaki's marriage day, what happened, right? You were very happy to drive the chariot for Vasudeva and Devaki. And when you were taking them to the palace, that you heard that word from the sky that her eighth child will kill you, and that eighth child, do you know who that is going to take birth again in this world, right? First of all, let me tell you who you were first. In your previous life, you were Kalanemi, that demon, right? And after the churning of the milk ocean, you had a battle between the demigods and the demons. And in that battle, you fought with Vishnu. And when Narada Maharshi said all these things, Kamsa remembered all that straight away. Previous life remembrance, Narada Maharshi gave it to him. This is how we get to remember that he was Kalanemi before, in previous life. So what Narada Maharshi did was, he brought back his memory of previous life in him. So, and Kamsa, all these thoughts came back to his mind at this moment, right? And he remembered how he had fought the battle with Vishnu in previous life and how he got killed by Vishnu's club, beaten by him, and then how he has come as Kamsa and in that life as Kalanemi, all these thoughts came back to him. Like you can see this in many cases. Gajendra's cases, Indrajumna. Then Chitrakedu, Vritrasura. Jadabharata as a deer. So Purva Janma Smarana. If Antaryami wants it, he can give it to you anytime. So when similarly here also the same thing happened. It was given to him, previous life, right? And that life, he had tremendous hate for Vishnu. That has also come back along with it, with that memory, right? So, and now this thought has come that he is going to come to kill me as a child of Vasudeva and Devaki, as the eighth child, in this way, and he is going, it is Vishnu who is coming in that way, as the son of Devaki and Vasudev. So immediately his mind changed when he heard this, right? He said, I can never trust these people, he said. Devaki and Vasudev, right? And when the time is appropriate, they'll become my enemies. Now they are talking to me in a sweet way, but when the opportunity comes, they will turn against me, right? So they are not very loyal to me. They are not very sincere about it, right? So then he started thinking, seeing all the Yadavas, all from the battle that happened in the churning of the milk ocean. All these people are from previous relationships with them, right? They are all Vaishnavas and Vishnu's devotees, right? And they have come here. So all the Yadavas he started thinking as his enemies straight away, right? And they will be helpful to Vishnu to kill me. And this fear built up in Kamsa's mind, right? He said, I can't trust Vasudeva and Devaki, nor can I trust any of the Yadavas who have come, right? Saying that, Narada Maharshi, who was saying and discussing all these things with him, take care of yourself properly, right? Saying all these things, Narada Maharshi did what is required to be done with Kamsa's mind, and he left. Narada Maharshi left, right? From that moment onwards, Kamsa started seeing Vishnu with the club in the hand, chasing him to kill him, right? And his fear increased day by day, from that day onwards. And he kept on thinking about it, what Narada Maharshi said, and that voice from the sky, what he heard on the marriage day. And also, he realized that the eighth child of Devaki is going to be my killer. He's going to kill me, right? Then he said, this Vishnu also is not very difficult to trust him, Vishnu, right? That's what he has heard about Vishnu, because he was Kalanemi before. And I have to wait for 8 years, isn't it, for the 8th child to be born. But if I wait till then, we don't know what Vishnu will do. He has said 8th child, but will he keep his word, first of all? So, thinking like that, he told Vasudevendra to bring all the children. And he brought them. He says, all 6 of them. He says, Vishnu has Maya with him. Vishnu's Maya. He'll use the Maya and he can shift. He can make the 6th child or 4th child as the 8th child or 8th child as the 4th child. All these things can happen. And therefore, I may not be able to realize who Vishnu will be in that. I should take it for granted that all children are Vishnu's agents only. So best thing is to kill all of them. Saying that, best thing, he killed all of them. All 6 of them. So while in front of Devaki and Vasudev, all 6 of them, he beat them to death by striking them onto a huge rock and killed them. And at this moment, the 7th child is Devaki, is going to become pregnant at that moment. That's that. By then, so first the 6 were killed by Kamsa. So we'll continue that tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.